Good evening. As a, I guess, preface, tonight, if it feels like I'm preaching at you, that's good. And just know that I'm preaching at myself. So I'm just letting you guys know that. But let's turn on over in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are holy, and You are above all, and I pray that we can see You as that. You are holy, You are righteous, You are good, You are a good Father, and You are a Father to the fatherless. You are a judge for the widow. I just pray that we keep our minds set on You, we keep our minds set on Your Word, and You have spoken to us, God. You've been very clear about how much You love us and all the things that You've done for us. I'm so appreciative for the opportunity to get to preach tonight. I just pray that it's edifying to the saints. I pray that I can speak clearly, and these are the things that You want me to say. And I pray that we can just press on and have a great week, ultimately, for You. It's Your Son's name I pray. Amen. I want you to imagine a giant with sharp fangs and claws, a powerful build, and a menacing glare. If you were to lock eyes with this beast, you would be terrified, frozen. It's a predator. It incessantly is watching and consistently, continually stalking the moves of its prey. There's blood on its beard. There's blood on its mane. Its breath is foul. There's flesh, decaying, dead flesh, lodged in between its teeth, its terrifying teeth. His roar, who can endure it? Who can stand in front of this great beast that can roar? And a roar of this beast can be heard for 5 miles. Now, you guys probably already know which creature I'm talking about. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I'm talking about a lion. Let's turn on over to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know, the lion is a scary creature if you think about it. Imagine if I had this box right here, and I said, guess what's inside here, and it started moving around, making noise. I said, there's a full-grown lion in here, and hasn't eaten in 10 days. I don't know if they survived that long without food. I think they do in Africa. What if I open this up? How many of you would be sitting in your seats? Probably not too many, huh? Have you guys ever seen a National Geographic or something where they have a lion and it shows you a clip of them, you know, devouring its prey? It would be pretty terrifying to think about. Now, think about this. The scripture is going to talk about Satan, and he is prowling around and he wants to devour. He wants to latch on to his prey and devour them. We would be naive to think that Satan is just somebody who's, he's not that powerful. He's not that significant. He only took a third of the angels, right? Pretty persuasive. Prowling around. He has good camouflage. Think about a young zebra. I always like the nature shows when they show the baby zebra, the baby gazelle. You know, the thing can barely stand. It's all wobbly. And, imagine this young creature. It grows up for a little while. It's never really got to experience what it was like to be chased by a predator. You know, it's maybe a couple years old now, and it thinks it knows best, and it was told not to venture out. Don't venture out to where the tall grass is. Stay with the herd. Stay over here. This is where it's safe. The young zebra, it thinks it knows best, and it starts to wander out. Sees the tall grass. There's nothing there. Nope, nothing there. Keeps going. You guys can probably envision this if you've seen a show like about something of this nature. Zebra keeps going. It's walking through, comes through some of this tall grass, comes to a clearing. Wow, there's water, more green grass. This was the area I was told not to go, the zebra says. Zebra starts eating and drinking. But in its peripheral, it catches something. Something moved. In a terrifying chill, a sensation unlike any other, goes down its back. It knows that it made a mistake. The lion has many disguises. It's crafty. Camouflaged. To the untrained eye, you might go out there and you might not even be able to see anything insignificance. You would say there's nothing there. But there is a predator. And he's prowling around waiting for somebody to devour. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 11. And I'll read just verses 13 through 15. For such men are false prophets, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. What is the devil's tool? What is his game? It's deception. What is he doing? What is his end goal? It's to devour. Jesus was tempted, wasn't he? Yeah. Was Jesus tempted? Absolutely. What was the tool that the devil used on him? Well, I think I remember something. He uses Scripture on him. He uses Scripture. What does Jesus use to refute that, though? Scripture. Proper use of the Scripture. Let's turn on over to Matthew chapter 28. This is where I want my message to take a turn towards evangelism, actually. You see, if Jesus wasn't prepared, he would have fell flat on his face. You have to be prepared. You have to be ready. One of the ways that a lion actually hunts, so I learned this recently. I was reading a book, and I learned this a while back, but it's in a book. And The way that a lion hunts is not always the same way each time. But one of the ways that a lion will hunt is it will actually put itself in a position where it can see the whole herd. So you see, lions, they don't chase after these migrating herds. They have their territories, and they wait for these herds to, you know, meander through their territories. There's probably a spiritual message in that, right? The lion waits, it looks at the herd, and it actually charges it. It'll just straight on charge this herd. Now you might think that sounds like a terrible way to, you know, why would you just charge something out in the open? How is that actually going to be effective? Well, to the untrained eye, somebody might say, look at that, it just scattered the herd and made chaos. But you see, to the acute senses of the lion and the way that it pays attention to every little detail, it knows exactly what it's looking for. Part of it's the shock factor, but when it charges onto this herd, it can immediately decipher who is strong and who is weak. Who's unprepared? Who's caught off guard? Who's limping? There's some ones that might be limping. There's some ones that are outliers, maybe lagging behind a little bit. So you got to be prepared. And doesn't Satan do that at times? Maybe we're all living high on the hog and we have this big group. And Satan comes at us when we're like, surely he would never attack us right now. And he just goes and he sees who's going to be strong, who's prepared. Sometimes those things come out of the middle of nowhere. The example that somebody I heard recently is, you know, they actually were teaching on this and preaching on this, and they actually found out not long after that they had cancer. That would be something out of the middle of nowhere. Are you going to stand? Are you prepared? The lion can decipher who a good target is, and he's going to wait for that opportune moment. We're in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, we'll read verses 18 through 20. It's funny that, you know, sometimes when people start preaching about one thing, somebody else keeps preaching about it again and again and again. I guess that's just how it works. I've heard Matthew 28 referenced to recently, and so it's just cool to get this again and again. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to his disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The book that I read recently that kind of prompted me to speak on this, it's called The Lion Never Sleeps. And underneath The Lion Never Sleeps, it says, preparing those you love for Satan's attacks. What it was is a guy from South Africa. He's originally from America, and he went to South Africa. He's from Texas. He went to South Africa for, I think, 20-plus years. And so he actually has a few books. He has books that are kind of fun. Some of them are about diseases from Africa and how that relates to sin and the nature of sin. And then he has one that's about a lion and how Satan attacks people. And one of the things that I really appreciate about it, though, is preparing those you love for Satan's attacks. Are we unaware of the devil's schemes? No? Do we know that Satan's going to attack? Let me ask you this. Is Satan trying to take people out? Absolutely. Satan definitely is. Do you think that everybody knows that, though? You think a lot of people are going around with blinders on? Maybe they don't want to know. But we know. And Satan is a devil. The devil is trying to prowl and he's trying to devour people. Don't you think it would be in their interest to maybe let them know? Hey, just by the way, Let's say, you know, it's kind of like if you're hiking through the woods and you see a bear, you know, it's right by the, I know this has happened several times with different people. You know, there's a bear right by the trail and you just keep going, you know, and you run into hikers and you don't even say anything. Oh. Just keep let, you know, you pass hikers and they just let them walk right into that bear. Now, what if the bear is, you know, it's Satan and it's intentionally trying to kill people? You escape it. You walk down the path. You interact with other people and you don't even tell them. That would be kind of inconsiderate, wouldn't it? We have a commission, the Great Commission, and you know, it does start with a two-letter word that's kind of difficult at times. It's to go. Jesus says, go. And again, like I said, this is me preaching at myself. But guys, we got to go. This is not the time to kick back, sit back, and to relax. You know, maybe that was God's plan, that He could save us so we could just enjoy, as Nolan mentioned earlier, just enjoy our nice retirements and the rest of our life to build things up for ourselves. Maybe that's what God had intended, huh? No, Jesus went out of His way to help us. Can we go out of our way to help others? What was the mindset behind Him? To seek and save that which was lost. What's our mindset? What's the commission? You know, we all have family. We all have coworkers. People that we are interacting with. You know, open your mouth is what I have written down. Sometimes all it is just a conversation. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be, you know, we have a track to work off of. And if you get somebody to study, I think that's a really wise thing to do. But sometimes it just starts with you opening your mouth and just talking to somebody about what they believe. Jeff Hostetter is going to be here in a couple weeks. He's also from Africa. And something that I've realized that's consistent with, you know, the missionaries and their message is always this one of evangelism. Go. Evangelize. We all know somebody. I have a question on here. Do you know somebody? Thanks for all the people that you know. Is there somebody that you know that you are the only, probably the only true Christian that they have interaction with? I have a few people I can think of. I mean, that's kind of a sad thing to think about. But there are actually a lot of people that I'm the only, probably the only true Christian that they have interaction with. Kind of takes it back to Romans chapter 10, thinking about faith comes by hearing, but isn't it beautiful, those people who take the good message out? The watchman in Ezekiel 33, we're not going to turn there. The watchman, his responsibility is to look out and to see if the sword is coming. If he sees, you know, if you're watching, you're on watch. I always get a kick out of, I guess, certain shows and stuff. You know, certain people are falling asleep on watch. And they're like, where did so-and-so go? Where did the prisoner go? Or I don't know, something of that nature. You know, the watchman, his responsibility is to blow the trumpet if he sees the sword coming. Right? Now imagine you got a whole village that's relying on you. You got to blow the trumpet. If you don't blow the trumpet, well, if you blow the trumpet, and you notify people of the sword that's coming, then they can do with that what they want. It's on them. Well, I told them the message. I relayed the message. They decided not to act upon it. The sword comes upon them. That's on them. But in the watchman, if he doesn't blow the trumpet, and the sword comes, and there's blood, those people, who's that on now? It's on the watchman. Thinking about this, we have an important message that the whole world needs to hear. And it is vitally important to them. Was it vitally important to us that somebody preached to us? Amen. Is it vitally important that we preach to other people? Yes. So, I started thinking about something that really prompted this recently was somebody that I know is close to me is in their they're in the 90s, and they had a health scare. And I started thinking, I have not done anything to talk to that individual about this. Now, granted, they're not the closest person in the world to me. But something happened to them where they had a scare that they might lose their life. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be at someone's funeral that I profess to love and to think, I wish I would have shared this with them. I was thinking about that with this individual. If they did pass away, I never opened my mouth to them. That I profess to love? If you love somebody, are you going to tell them? Do you have to Bible study with them? You know what? Maybe you can set up a Bible study. Maybe you can give some booklets. Maybe you can arrange something. But all I'm saying is, it just starts with opening our mouths. We're in Matthew 28. The next part talks about making disciples. This plays into the side of keep teaching. Okay? We're making disciples. We teach. We live it out. One of the biggest things that I've seen is in my discipleship, in my growing, is seeing other people live it out. That's powerful, guys. Get people involved. Making disciples, as Paul told the Corinthians, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Isn't that powerful? We get to share our lives with one another and we get to show them, hey, this actually works. Baptizing. Make disciples and baptize them or immerse them. You know, do you think that you have to be the one that's actually baptizing or actually immersing somebody? You know, maybe not. But as I think it was mentioned recently, that we all come together collectively to get the job done, don't we? Do you think that prayer plays a part in some of that? Is somebody's salvation, if somebody's studying and somebody's working with somebody else, do you think that your prayers are going to help that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can pray for somebody to help this process? What if everybody in this congregation came together and we prayed for people that are put up on this board? You think that God's going to bless that? Ultimately, it's going to come down to the individual's choices. But again, this is something that I've been personally just convicted about. Hey, we got a job to do. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Are you praying for opportunities? I'm mentioning, okay, maybe we have gone through all of the people we know. Maybe we've gone through everybody in our family. Maybe we've gone through everybody that we work with, everybody who could have been interested. We followed those through and they kind of petered out. What about praying for opportunities? Do you think we could pray for some more opportunities to share the gospel? Yeah. Is God going to bless that? God is very interested in the furthering of His gospel and the church. I guarantee you, if we pray with wholehearted belief, something is going to happen. Now this, I want to tie this back in with Satan being the devil, and we are protecting those that we love. If you love people, don't you see the lion that's waiting over there in the bushes? And he wants to devour them. He wants to devour you, but he wants to devour them. The devil doesn't give up, does he? I mean, he's taken as many people down as he can. He wants to keep going and going. We're not the type to give up, are we? Do you give up? Do you take a punch? You know, that saying, everybody's got a plan until they get punched. With horses, you know, maybe we have a couple scars and from fights with the devil. You know, this lion, he comes out and he attacks and he grabs on and whatnot. You know, with horses, there's this color, it's called roan. So a lot of horses, if they get cut, they actually won't change the color, like you won't see it. It could possibly, sometimes it does if it's a bad one, it'll grow in white. But a lot of times the hair will grow back the same color, so you won't even really see the scar. But there's this color, it's called roan, and it's kind of a white, frosted type color. And every time that, we've always had roans our whole life, my mom loved them. Every time that they get scratches or they have some type of scar, they have like this mark now. And you always see it. It's like black. It's like a frosted color horse, and all of its scars are black. So you can have this really cool horse, and you get to see every single time it got bit, kicked, stabbed, whatever. And we always had roans. But, you know, sometimes maybe that's how that is with us. Maybe we still look at those scars, some things that hurt. We can't let that hold us back. We can't let that hold us down. There's probably a whole message in this last part. But the last part of Matthew 28, he talks about going, making disciples, immersing them. And this is probably one of the hardest aspects of this that can be overlooked. It's teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded. Teaching everything, is that easy? Well, we come together again, collectively. We're working on this together. But, you know, I brought up the example of a lion and the young ones and the ones that can become aloof or go astray. Can Christians be that way? What's our responsibility? Keep teaching. Keep growing. Keep working. You know, if... You know, you think Tiger Woods became an exceptional golfer in a group setting? Probably not. What it takes to help somebody individually to know Christ, to become a disciple, it takes a lot of studying in a small, intimate relationship. Don't you think that could be something that's worth nurturing and culturing even after? I've been guilty of it. You know, somebody gets dunked, and then not that we just say, oh, they don't need help anymore, but it kind of feels like that sometimes. Oh, you know, they got dunked. They're good. Let's go get the next one. And there is a beauty of being in assembly that we still are growing. We're still learning. You know, we're still getting a lot of good teaching, sound doctrine. But, you know, Jesus said, go make disciples and keep teaching them. To obey, to observe all that I commanded. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. You know, are some people maybe hurting? Are some people maybe weak? You know, the devil, he's He's trying to sift through who's, he's going to charge the herd. He's going to throw some big attacks out. You know, something that was made reference to recently in a message is, you know, it's kind of like he's just shooting these arrows. Sometimes they're specific and sometimes they're just, he's just shooting a bunch. And sometimes there's just collateral damage. We have to be constantly on guard for these things. And one of the ways that we do this, Hebrews chapter 3, 13 talks about encourage each other as long as it's called today. For what purpose? So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. My encouragement is, go. We know the adversary is prowling around. We know the dangers. We know the dangers. We know this. Let's go. Let's rescue these lost souls, the people who are interested, genuine truth lovers and seekers. Let's go and let's continue to teach, to exhort, to build up, to make this to a position where it's not where the lion comes to this herd and it's also just a bunch of, you know, weak, weakened, old, sick. It's not a sick herd. It's not a weak herd. We want to build and to grow strong so that he has no power. No power at all. 1 Peter 5, 6. We'll go back there. We'll close there. 1 Peter chapter 5. And James makes a similar point. First Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do we win? Absolutely. If we remain firm and we resist the devil. Let us go, I encourage. Let us go and rescue some lost souls. Thank you.